Today we've been looking at the anointing, and today we wanted to specifically look at Saul and just to get some lessons from his life. You know, at times when you look at how the anointing functioned in men, then we are able to learn from it, and we're able to, you know, to be taught and to be warned as well. And as we had been able to cover in the past, that the anointing rested on various kinds of people in the Old Testament, and it was not for everyone. It was for, there was the prophets, there was the priests, there were kings, and also craftsmen, and also leaders and wise men that the anointing rested upon. And what was characteristic of the anointing is that the Holy Spirit came upon the person that was anointed. So the anointing was a symbolic, the oil being poured upon the person, either from a flask of oil or from being smeared upon. But what was important about the anointing is that it was not just about anyone, you know, just using their own oil. It had to be done by a priest or by someone who was authorized to anoint, but also it marked the presence of the Lord coming upon the person, the Holy Spirit coming upon the person. And so what we see from the lives of these people that we study in one way or another is what was the effect of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, what did the anointing work in their life, what did it do, what were they able to accomplish by virtue of the anointing, but then also what were the mistakes that they made, and also what lessons can we learn from their life, and also how can we apply it as, you know, as believers who have the Holy Spirit in our time, and how can we also by such lessons learn about the Holy Spirit. So I think this is just the background. And when we see the story of Saul, you have to picture the situation of Israel at that point. At that point, Israel did not have a king. The Bible tells us that Samuel had been a judge over Israel, and however, what happened is that his sons were not walking according to the ways of Samuel, so the people asked Samuel to appoint for them a king. And of course, you know, Samuel was sad about it, but then he asks, God tells him, don't be sad, it is not you that they have rejected, but it is God, it is me that they have rejected as king. So then we are introduced to Saul, and we are told that Kish, there was a man called Kish who was of the tribe of Benjamin, who was a rich man. He had a handsome son, a choice son called Saul, and who was a head taller from the shoulder than every other Israelite. So he had a very tall son. And it's always very important to remember that Saul was actually a giant, and it is interesting why he was not ready to face Goliath. But that also was because the spirit had left him. Now, Saul's father had donkeys, and these donkeys had gotten lost. And Saul took a servant, and he went to look for it. And after 3 days, they were not able to find it. And then they decided to go back. But then the servant of Saul advises him to go and see Samuel the prophet. And here we are going to be able to see how Saul is chosen to be king. And maybe we're going to read. I just wanted us to have that background of that, and then we are able to read. So now let's, because it's Bible study, we're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 9, and we're going to read a number of verses therefore. So verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorach, the son of Aphia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upwards, he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost, and Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise, go and look for the donkeys. So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they were not there. Then he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them. When he had come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us." And he said to him, "Look, now, there is in this city a man of God, and is an honorable man, and all that he says surely comes to pass. Let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go." So what we see in some of the key points that we see is that God was using an opportunity of lost donkeys to bring Saul to meet Samuel and to receive his anointing to be king. And we see that Saul was already a very, you know, disciplined young man. He was honorable for his father, and he is serving his father. So one of the things that we see, if you try to ask yourself, what is it that qualified Saul? You can actually see that it was nothing about his effort. One of the things that you see, him being a head taller, he did not work for that. Him being from a rich family or being handsome, he did not work for that. But what we see that he had a diligence about it, in that he went to look for his father's donkey. So you can see, yes, he was already mature, but he was committed to go and meet and look for his father's donkeys. But what we also see is that God can use, you know, any opportunity that looks like a loss to bring us into alignment with his purpose. So God created an opportunity where there was loss of donkeys, and this enabled Saul to leave his home and to come and find his way, that he can be able to encounter Samuel. So this is just the initial part. Now, verse 15, if we just go ahead. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come to me." So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people." Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Please tell me, where is the seer's house?" Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today and tomorrow, and I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and all your father's house?" And Saul answered and said, "Am I not a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like this to me?" So one of the things that you see even about this is that Saul himself had what you will call an inferiority complex. Yes, he was taller than everyone. Yes, he was handsome, but he did not see himself as being worthy of being chosen by Samuel, or chosen by God to be king. And so when he's told of him being the desire of all Israel, he concludes and says, "How is that possible, considering that I am just a Benjamite?" And you remember, Benjamin was one of the smallest tribes, and if you go back in history, it's because there was a point where in the book of Judges, where one of the Benjamites had mistreated one of a stranger, and, you know, an Israelite, and eventually they declared war on the Benjamites. They killed almost all of them except 600 men, and eventually this tribe was really small. So God chose the least of the tribes to appoint a king, and he chooses Saul to be king. So as I'd said before, we can see that God had already spoken to Samuel that, you know, "Tomorrow I'm going to you're going to meet the person who I have chosen to be king over Israel." And for me, it tells us of that we can, as we walk with God, because remember also Samuel had learned the voice of God, you know, hearing the voice of God by the word of God. The word of God had been revealed to him, so he could hear the voice of God, and God tells him, here is the person that you're going to choose, but Saul does not consider himself to be worthy. So one of the things that we see about Saul becoming king is that we are chosen by grace. Saul did nothing for God to choose him to be king, and the anointing came because there was a need. There was a need for a king. There was a need of the people. The people asked for a king. They needed a deliverer. And so God decided to appoint for them a king, and he chose for them a king to be a deliverer for them. So I'm going to pause here first and then take reflections. Maybe if there's something on your heart, what stands out for you? We've looked at how the donkeys were lost and how God had already whispered to Samuel that Saul was going to be king, and he appears, and this is it. And then we're going to see what are the steps that happened before he became king. Maybe at this point, if there's any reflection that comes to your heart, Ralph, you're welcome.
Thank you, Doc. I think what is interesting is that, you see, at this particular time, if you look at Saul, his agenda here, his own agenda, which was to look for the lost donkeys. But God had another plan for him.
Yeah.
So I think a key lesson is that, according to God, it doesn't matter your situation or your circumstance. But if God's appointed time has come, it doesn't matter where you are or what you are doing. God will locate you where you are. I think that's something that is striking to me, because, like you are saying, it's not him. He didn't volunteer to become the king.
Yeah.
It was, it, you know, it just came to him. He, you know, he didn't want, he didn't say, I am not the king, but it just came to him. From a nobody, he was just elevated like that.
Amen. No, it's very true, and I like what you said, like God's blessings know how to locate us. You don't need to struggle so much. God actually really knows where you are, and he was able to use the circumstance of lost donkeys to bring Saul to his destiny. Okay, so let's see the processes that took place, and we are going to draw some lessons from that. So we are in 1 Samuel 9, so we'll read from verse 22. The Bible says, "Now Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall and had them sit in the place of honor. Among those who were invited, there were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, 'Bring the portion which I gave you, of which I say to you, set it apart.' So the cook took up the thigh with its upper part and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, 'Here it is, what was kept back. It was set apart for you. Eat. For until this time it has been kept for you, since I said I invited the people.' So Saul ate with Samuel that day, and when they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on top of the house. They arose early, and it was about the dawning of the day that Samuel called to Saul on top of the house, saying, 'Get up, that I may send you on your way.' And Saul arose, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel. And as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, 'Tell the servant to go on ahead of us.' And he went on. 'But you stand here a while, that I may announce to you the word of God.'" So you can see he's being separated. And this is just a principle of how, you know, when we are seeking God, you're separated, then God is able to release certain things in our life. We'll jump to chapter 10, 1 Samuel chapter 10, from verse 1 to 5, where it says, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, "The donkeys you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There, three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine, and they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen, when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit, verse 6, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace and offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you shall do. So it was, when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass on that day. Now, just to summarize what is happening, the Bible is telling us that Saul is anointed by the pouring of oil of Samuel. That means there's a flask of oil that is poured in it, and he was separated, and he is anointed commander over the people of Israel. So we can see that the anointing came for a specific purpose, to make him king and commander over the people of Israel. So now Saul is given certain signs that are going to happen. One is Saul is going to meet a company of prophets who had three goats, three loaves of bread, a skin of wine, and they were singing, and with stringed instruments, tambourine, harp, flute, and they were prophesying. And he's told what will happen is that the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you, and you shall also prophesy and be turned into another man. And when the signs come, do as the occasion serves you, or as the occasion demands, for the Lord is with you. And as he left, God gave Saul another heart, and all the signs came to be. And he was to wait for Samuel to show him what to do. For me, some of the things that strike me is the very specific things that he was told to do. One, he was told he's going to meet prophets. And for me, what I look at is that Saul, yes, he was an Israelite, but he didn't have the heart of a worshiper. That's the first thing that strikes me. He was not, his heart was not really for God. Like, he did not have a relationship with God where he was an, where he had that, you know, that spirit of worship, or that spirit where he used to have a relationship with God. And so even though he is anointed to be king, he is not yet prepared to be king. And so God has to now bring him up to speed. You understand? So now how does God bring him up to speed? He brings him to a place where he can associate with people who are worshippers. That is number one. And they are going to, by them also being prophets, they are also going to transfer the anointing to him by association. So there's also an anointing that comes by association, and we are going to be able to see what happens when he encounters these prophets. But he is being brought into the environment where he can be in tune to be able to receive the spirit of prophecy. And for me, this is a very important point, because one of the things that you will learn even as you walk with God is that there are certain atmospheres that make it more easier for you to hear God, or to receive the word of the Lord, or to even prophesy. So it's something that you learn with yourself. And one of the things that helps, you know, in the prophetic, that you're able to, you know, to hear the voice of God and to be able to preach to people and to prophesy is actually music. And the worship is very important. So it's something that you learn, and you can see even this is why God ensures that he meets the prophets who are singing and prophesying, and he's able to do that. But also another thing that God prepares him is that he tells him that when the Spirit of the Lord will come upon him, he shall be turned into another man. And that is very important. It tells us that when the anointing, or when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we are transformed into different men. That means the reality is we are actually transformed to become born again. We are supernatural, in that God gives us an enablement that is from God, and that transforms us and gives us a supernatural confidence, or a supernatural ability that is not of a normal man. And so this is what he's told: you shall be turned into another man. And then there's something that is also important. And when these signs come upon you, he's told, do as the occasion demands or as the occasion serves you, for the Lord is with you. That means that when the anointing comes upon you as a believer today, when you have received the Holy Spirit, then there is a function that God has anointed you to do. Now, at that very moment, it is the occasion that will demand what you need to do. That means that at that moment, the Lord is with you. So it is you to do his will. If it is healing, heal the sick. If it is raising the dead, raise the dead. But you see, there is a process. That means that you have to know that the anointing has come upon you, or the Spirit of the Lord has come upon you. And there's also another thing. The Lord gave Saul another heart. So that means he was born again. His heart was changed. It was softened towards God. He was also brought into the atmosphere where he could worship and prophesy. And then also he was also told that when the signs come upon you, he was being given evidences that the Holy Spirit will come upon him, that he shall prophesy. Now let's just read, and then we'll be able to reflect, all of us, what comes to our hearts. Verse 10 says, when they came to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened, when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Then a man from them there answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. Then Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, where did you go? So he said, to look for the donkeys. When we saw that they were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel, and Saul's uncle said, tell me please what Samuel said to you. So Saul said to his uncle, he told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Samuel had said. And I think that was wisdom. So, in summary, Saul has met the prophets of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon him. He begins to prophesy as the other prophets. People, you know, asked if Saul has become one of the prophets, and maybe his uncle had had it. You see here, he received the anointing by association, and also by the he was able to prophesy by association. And then they asked, who is their father? Because they wanted to know spiritual lineage. Because in that time, for someone to prophesy, he must have had a spiritual father, or who is their father? So if their father was able to transfer the anointing to Saul, then if they followed their father, then they are able to also receive the same anointing. But then Saul was also careful not to inform his uncle what Samuel had said to him, either out of fear, but also it was wisdom, because at that point it was not the right time to do so. So maybe I'll stop here and I'll ask the questions. What is it that comes to your heart, or what do you see about Saul in this process of the anointing coming upon him? Over. Any reflections coming? Okay, if there are none, we can carry on. I hope I can be heard. Okay, good. Let's read from verse 17. Samuel, 1 Samuel 10:17. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms of all those who oppressed you. But today you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversities and your tribulations, and you have said to him, no, set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. And when Saul had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was chosen, and Saul, son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord, Father, has the man come here yet? And the Lord answered, there he is, hidden among the equipment. Verse 23. So they ran and brought him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upwards. And Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? That there is no one like him among all the people. So all the people shouted and said, long live the king. Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. But some rebels said, how can this man save us? So they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Think of what happens. Saul, yes, he's anointed, but he's still not ready. He's hiding. And it has to take God to reveal where he is. They choose Saul and they ask, where is Saul? He's told he's hiding among the equipment. And he's brought forward. He is proclaimed king. Remember, he was anointed in private, but now he's proclaimed king. He's a head taller than everyone. And you see, what does God do? He touches the hearts of valiant men. That means courageous men. Their hearts were touched and they went with Saul. So you can see already the kingdom starts to build around him. And for me, what stands out also is the influence of the anointing. You can see that just by the anointing, he's proclaimed king, but then also influence. God touches hearts, and by leadership, people start to follow him. Although there are those that despise him, but also you can see the different hearts that he is given. They don't bring him any presents, but he holds his peace. He now starts to behave like royalty, behave like a king, knowing that he's in charge of all. He's still going to have a heart that is going to minister to the people. But also what is important is that Samuel is still there to instruct him. He is still there to instruct him. And if he was to follow the instructions of Saul, of Samuel, then he will have been able to stay in his rightful place. But unfortunately, Saul fails to heed to all these instructions. Maybe let me take a pause and what comes to your heart and what reflections up until this point, if something is coming to you. Welcome.
No, not really, but it's quite interesting how things unfold, because like I said before, if you look at it, it's not about I think for me what stands out is the issue of humility in a way, because at this particular time, Saul is really different from the other Saul that we will see later. Maybe because of time, we'll not be able to look at that. But if you want to look at how he has ascended to power and how he later started to do things, I think you see a completely different Saul. Who is being anointed, and the other soul who is the king. I think that is a striking thing that I'm seeing there.
True.
Thank you.
True. Yeah, thank you. No, and it's true. And you know that the beauty of the study is always that you see the progression of a man, the humble man coming, he becomes king, a few men join him, but then all of a sudden now he is on his own. Or rather, then he starts to mess up. But anyway, let's also see another good thing that Saul does as king. And this is really a mark of the anointing. And let's read 1 Samuel 11, and we'll read a few verses there. Verse 1 says, 1 Samuel 11, then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition, I will make a covenant with you, that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on all Israel. Then the elders of Jabesh said to him, hold off for 7 days, that we may send messengers to all the territory of Israel. And then, if there is no one to save us, we will come out to you. So the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and told the news in the hearing of the people. Then all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now there was Saul coming behind the herd from the field. Look, the guy was king and you're still working. And Saul said, "What troubles the people that they weep?" And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hands of the messengers, saying, "Whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so it shall be done to this oxen." So, and the fear of the Lord came on all the people, and they came out with one consent. Verse 8. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they say to the messengers who came, "Thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help." Then the messengers came and reported it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, "Tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do with us whatever seems good to you." So it was the next day that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch and killed the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it happened that those who survived were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. Then the people said to Samuel, "Who is he who said, 'Shall Saul reign over us?' Bring the men, that we may put them to death." But Saul said, "Not a man shall be put to death this day, for the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." So all the people went to Gilgal, and they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they made sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men rejoiced greatly. So we see Saul's first victory. And maybe just to give a quick background as we come to a conclusion, Jabesh Gilead was actually east of the Jordan. Remember when the Israelites were crossing into the promised land, the half tribe of Manasseh felt that this side is, you know, is good, so they decided not to cross over. But now when they had not crossed over, there was that encounter where the tribe of Benjamin had refused to one of the guys had mistreated an Israelite who had come with his daughter, and where they raped that girl, and what the man did, he eventually he cut the girl into parts and sent to all over Israel and told them, "This is what the men of Benjamin have done." And because they have done this, so all of Israel declared war against Benjamin. They told them that no one will give any of their daughters. They went and killed almost all the Benjamites except 600 men. And then when they realized that this tribe will be wiped out, they found out which tribe did not join them in the vow, and also did not join them in the fight. They found out that Jabesh Gilead had not joined them, so they went and, you know, killed the men of Jabesh Gilead, and then they found 400 virgins, and then they gave to the Benjamites, and then they were able to have children. So now this Jabesh Gilead is that town, and then this town later is attacked by, you know, by Ammon, and Saul is able to rise and defend. Saul is able to rise and defend and rescue them. And after he's able to rescue them, then these people come, and later on when they're rescued, then we see that the Spirit of God, as Saul being king, is able to go and fight, deliver them, he rescues them, and the people are moved. They now follow him, and they now make him king. But then later on, if you'll follow in the Bible history, you'll find out that later on, this Jabesh Gilead people are the ones who go and remove the bodies of Saul's sons, the seven sons who are killed, descendants of Saul who are killed by the Gibeonites. So we can see there is that this is the story of Jabesh Gilead. But for me, what stands out is the anointing had its role in Saul. It gave him influence. It turned him into another man. It enabled him to prophesy. It enabled him to be king. It gave him influence. The people were drawn towards him. And he also was victorious in war. Remember, he was anointed commander over the people of Israel. And you can see that everyone was followed Saul. They renewed him. They made him king. However, later on, when God will give us another time, we'll be able to see the mistakes that Saul did. And this is just the effect of the anointing. That means that the Holy Spirit is able to transform us. He's able to give us the grace to be able to be different men and to serve God. And when we know that, if we continue with him, if we continue listening to him and being guided by him, we are going to be able to be victorious believers, whether it's in the marketplace, whether it is in our homes, whether it's in our families, whether it is in the ministry. As long as we are continually being led by the Spirit of God, we shall see victory and we shall see the effect of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I think maybe let me just stop there. And my brother, you're welcome for any closing reflections. Then we'll be able to take on part two next week. Yeah.
No, thank you so much, Dr. Soma. I think it's quite clear that when the anointing is upon you, you cannot remain the way you are. There is a transformation that comes with the anointing.
Yeah.
We had Saul, who was like, I wouldn't call him. Of course, he was tall in the light, but he did not have any pride. He was not even outstanding. He was not even recognized.
Yeah.
But because of the anointing, he became someone, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he was able to accomplish things, for Israel. So it's a very good reminder and a very big lesson to say that it is not our own ability, but it is God, because Bible says that we should not rely on ourselves, but we should put our faith and our trust in God, and he will be able to to lift us up if we humble ourselves. So I think this is also a very good example of what the anointing is able to do, to transform, to change our lives significantly and make us to be effective, for the purposes of the kingdom of God. Thank you for that.
Amen. Amen.